Hi, this is Tiffany the Lass.
And Shady.
And we're in San Francisco with Sami. She's the proprietor of the Red Victorian and...
She's the founder of the Red Victorian Bed, Breakfast, and Peace Center and the Artist in Residence.
Okay.
Fantastic. First, I'd like to talk a little bit about how you got started. When did you first come upon the Red Victorian?
Ooh. I came to San Francisco for a week and decided to move here. I loved it so much. I learned so much. There were so many things going on. So I decided to move here. And in doing that, I had an investment in the property that I owned where I had lived previously, which was Hawaii. And so I could do an exchange and make a down payment on a building here in San Francisco. So I was here in San Francisco looking and wondering where would I want to be living. And the Church of Gentle Brothers and Sisters came to me, and they said, Sami, come over here to Haight Street. We've got a building to show you. So I came over, and I found this Chinese supermarket with a kind of a home for alcoholics up above on Haight Street, just two blocks from Golden Gate Park. And they said, look, we can occupy this and rent it from you, and that'll give you time to decide where you want to live. So I did that, and I exchanged the real estate interest that I had formerly into this property. And then they came and they said, well, we're sorry, but there are only 40 of us, and we think the building is in too bad condition, and we can't do anything. And they backed out. So they left me here in 1977 owning a building where the windows were all either painted shut or painted open, where the heating system was not working, where the goods in the Chinese supermarket were 14 years old, some of them, completely out of date, where the shelving in the supermarket was too big to go out through the doors. And then the building inspector came to me and he said, whether you like it or not, this building is zoned as a hotel. So here I was alone. No mother, no daddy, no husband, no wife, no brother, no sister, no children, no banker, no realtor, nobody to help me. Owning a building or owning a mortgage on a building which was in very bad condition. And it was in a very intriguing area in the famous, world-famous Haight-Ashbury near Golden Gate Park.
So you're left in this position and you've got this fascinating building. What suddenly inspired you to turn it into its current, being the Red Victorian, the Peace Center? How did this come about?
Well, it was done to me. I had three suites of offices rented upstairs at that time, and the inspector said, no, you can't do that. It has to be a hotel. Mm-hmm. So what do you do? I'm an artist, an architect, an interior designer. My doctorate is in transformational art and societal change. And my life is dedicated to making a better world. Well, what do you do when you find yourself without the money and with all of these needs going on, leaks, everything that you could imagine was here? It happened to me. So I'm an environmental designer, and I envisioned that I would be able to make it beautiful, but I didn't have the wherewithal or the people to do it.
You mentioned being an artist, and you have your art hanging all around the hotel and the Peace Center, almost an entrepreneur of peace in all your work. There's a peace, speaking of peace and trying to teach people of peace.
You know, Tiffany, why I do that? I found out that the peace sign is understood internationally, that the numbers 1, 2, 3, 4, you can go almost any language in the world and people can read them, and they can read the peace sign. So I decided to devote myself to painting the peace sign and honoring the different cultures in the world and their art styles, like the Aboriginal artists of Australia and the San Blas Indian women with beautiful molas, and to honor them, but to see how many different ways I could paint the peace sign. And you see this little button that I have right here. I want everybody in the world wearing a peace sign and talking about peace. And this is an international language.
as far as when you talk about the piece and the art, you know, and you're obviously an inspiration to a lot of people. We can see that, the people coming through here and the people that work with you and for you. But who's inspiring to you? Who do you find inspiring in the world?
I have given myself a lot of personal growth training. I have given myself not only universities, but getting to understand, I'm very interested in the emergence of the human consciousness, how we come to be as we are, how our reality is formed by the environment that we grow up in and what we do. So I've had to do bootstrap operations all along, because I've yearned for somebody who could come here and be a mentor to me. Somebody would help me, and I've had teachers, but I haven't had anybody who's joined with me and come in and said, look, this is wonderful, and let me put my money beside your money, and let me put my dreams beside your dreams, and this is what I'm doing, and let you help me, you know, that kind of thing. It's been very, very lonely. My role in life is to inspire other people and say, well, if Sami can build her dream, then I can build mine. And so I do a lot of that. But as far as having support, for me, it gets really lonely and really difficult. So I'm surrounded by people and hugs and thanks and appreciation and loneliness, and wishing that I had somebody to do things with and somebody who could talk with me about all these deep experiences that I have, all the emotions that come up and all the challenges, and just, you know, pulling yourself together when it looks totally impossible to go on. Mm-hmm. But I haven't had very much of that. Mm-hmm. I keep hoping it will come. Mm-hmm.
So, come on.
Come on. You know, I know that there are thousands and thousands of people all over the world who care as much as I do about the planet, and who care about social justice, and who are making a difference in the world, but I can't find them. And the ones that I find that are doing it, maybe they're too busy or something, but you send them emails and you send them all kinds of wonderful little videos and everything about what you're doing, and you invite them over. What I love is collaboration. I'm looking for collaboration. I believe that we're not going to save the world unless we can collaborate, mm-hmm. unless we can work together. And I have had the privilege of living and studying tourism in 50 different countries and observing what tourism is doing to the world. And it breaks my heart when I see native villages plowed over for golf courses and poison sprays put on them. And it just breaks my heart when I see local people employed as waiters instead of as teachers. And when I see these international conferences going to third world countries, listening to themselves and the first world people and the rich people, instead of going in and having 50% of the staff being the locals. And I see you nodding your head. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I've been living my dreams all my life. I go ahead and I do it anyway. And it's fun. And I wake up every day just really enthusiastic to go, I love it. You know, what is today going to bring? But it's also extremely heartbreaking sometimes.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned loneliness and heartbreak. Mm-hmm. But you also surround yourself with peace. I want to know what peace means to you, and what is a peaceful moment?
Well, you're asking a question that when we have our meetings, we talk about that all the time. Some people think that peace means peace, not war, or peace, not violence. And we're not a political organization which is working, agitating for nonviolence. But for us, peace is modeling the kind of a world that we want for everybody. So what we're dedicated to at the Red Victorian Peaceful World Center is actually being a model of the way that we want to treat people. If people come in with a different skin color, or they come in from a different country or a different language, we like to make them welcome and say thank you for coming, and to include them, because we're modeling what we want the whole world to be like. Mm-hmm. Does that respond to your question?
Just like if you were to go to another country, you want to be welcomed.
When I go to another country, I want to be humble, and I want to learn from the people who are there, and I want to know what it is that is working for them and what is not working, and what is working I want to learn from. I've seen wonderful ways to raise children. The children don't have very much in the material goods, but they're smiling and having a lot of happiness. Maybe you've seen that in third world countries. And then I want to help when they need help. And I've got, and you and I and all of us who are traveling, we have so much that we can contribute. We can give a week of our time. We can give our knowledge. We can take people and plug them into the economic scheme of the world. I'm an advocate and teach people and mentor people in hosting a bed and breakfast themselves. I feel that one of the very best careers in the world is to have a bed and breakfast. You own it yourself. And then if you're an artist, you can use your art to give your own feelings to it. If you have children, your children can grow up having multicultural experiences. If you want to be creative, whatever your art, if you're a musician, you can have your music there. You can create, instead of trying to go in the art gallery world and have somebody represent you, to me, that's kind of hollow. But to be able to represent yourself in your own building, and I teach people the different ways that they can get in and start their own bed and breakfast, and then host world conversations, peaceful world conversations there, so that when the whole world is passing through, they can know, well, here I am in London, and here's where we all meet. Like one of our guests this morning was talking about that they meet every Monday, I think it is, in London. Well, how wonderful to have. I want to have, first of all, 30 cities, gateway cities in the world, where you and I can travel and we can know. Well, it's not that Rotary meets here on Wednesdays, but it's Peaceful World Conversations meet at this cafe, at this bed and breakfast, at this hostel, and here's where I can plug in with the people who have the heart to change the world. Here's where I can plug in with real life people who are not just talking about peace, but who are living it and doing things to take care of their water supply, to take care of their children.
Mm-hmm. So for the people listening right now, we're talking about these peaceful conversations that Sami has here at the Red Victorian. And I'm just curious how you first got started with these conversations. What inspired you to do that?
When you ask the question, my mind jumps immediately to a train in Switzerland. That's just where it jumps. And that has happened to me all over the world, that I will be talking with somebody, and I will be in magnificent countryside, and they're talking about someplace else, somewhere else. Mm-hmm. It is absolutely amazing how you can go all the way to see Mexico, and they will pull down the blinds in the bus and turn on the video, the TV. Mm-hmm. Or they will talk with you about home, you know, in New York or in Lima or wherever it is. Mm-hmm. And I just love being in the here and now. And so the Peaceful World conversations are an opportunity to be with people personally in the here and now, and to be talking about real life experiences and not theory. That's our magic, that we connect the world of peacemakers emotionally. Did you feel that any today? Did you feel any connection with the participants in the conversation?
I definitely did. On several different levels. I mean, there was people from all different cities and cultures sitting around the table. And even though we were all from so many different places, you know, whether we were talking about, you know, a bereavement or the environment or, you know, a mountain range, we all connected to each other on some different level. And there was a genuine connection that went around the table. And it was touching and it was fascinating. It's a good thing that you're doing.
Beautiful words. Touching and fascinating.
Yeah.
I find it touches my heart every Sunday, every time I'm with people. I like to watch people's eyes and faces when they describe the home that they live in. And, you know, sometimes, in fact, I used a very silly example for the first time I've ever done it with a little house that we call TT, which was 8 feet by 12 feet and was just temporary where I lived on an island in the South Pacific. But just knowing the kind of environments that we're growing up in and that we're exposed to can tell us a lot about how we're forming our own realities and our own personalities. How was it for you, Tiffany?
I enjoyed it a lot, and I liked how everyone was connecting by not an organization or a group they were from. It was from real experiences.
So what we're looking for is people anywhere in the world, but particularly in the gateway cities, who would like to host conversations on a regular basis. We'll put them up on the website for Peaceful World Foundation.org and Peaceful World Conversations, and we'd like people to learn to host, and we'll be glad to show them how to do it, to host conversations like this all over the world. And one day there will be thousands of them. It will be possible to be traveling, and the purpose of travel will be not to be buying things for yourself or to have the natives entertain you, but the purpose of traveling will be to go and to learn and to help and to be neighbors and to be neighbors in the world, to be one global family.
Mm-hmm. And would you say that's your greatest message? That's probably your purpose, your motto. I don't know exactly the words to describe, but
yeah.
Your mission statement.
We have a few official mission statements here too. Yes, yeah. To get the world, the people who are educated enough and big-hearted enough and generous enough, and are traveling, to be able to form a global community and to be able to help each other in bringing about the kind of an ethical world that we want for everybody and an environment that we want for everyone.
What do you think of business travel? I mean, do you have any business people that come and stay here, or are they more in the high-rise Hyatt, Hilton? How do you reach out to them?
Well, I think that it's wonderful. I support social entrepreneurs. In other words, I think it's very, very good for people who are operating a business which is good for the world, and to be supporting themselves and maybe to be supporting each other. I definitely support people earning a living by doing good for the world. And about business, I've noticed that the multinational corporations are well connected all over the world. They have meetings and they have big offices, you know, all over the world. And they meet and they have plans and they know exactly what they're doing. And the tourists don't even know each other. They don't even find each other. They don't even know how to meet. So it seems like the businesses that are about making money are very well organized, and they have big buildings. And the people who talk about, we were asking ourselves, what is the real meaning of peace? And the people who are addressing that question, they're impotent.
You host several other things here at the Red Victorian and the World Peace Center. You have things set up so that people can lend money to other people in third world countries to help them start businesses.
Give.
And to give, there we go.
The idea is, if you give money, and you can go to, we work with Kiva, and it is kiva.org/lender/peaceful world. And if you go there, you can see all the people that people like you and me are supporting with $25 donations. And those $25 donations help people in the third world, deserving entrepreneurs, to be able to get their businesses together. And then our hope is that our clients like you who are passing through here will go and visit them. So they're in Mexico, and when you're in Mexico, or this couple who came through last week who are traveling through Asia, that they will look for these people and they'll go to these entrepreneurs and surprise them and say, here we are. We're going to patronize you. Aww. We're going to be your friends. We're going to connect you with the world. So I see travel as a means of connecting the world of peace builders.
Yeah.
Isn't it interesting?
Yeah.
Isn't it possible? But we're so unconnected right now.
You also host a once a month, I believe it's the third Saturday of every month, you have a sort of a charity type concert here where female musicians will come in and sing and provide entertainment to anybody who wants to come in, and all the proceeds are to help keep your the Red Victorian and the World Peace Center moving and keep it open so that people can keep coming here.
Yes.
Do you want to talk about these women, these singers? Or
well, Shady, this part right here is the salon, our art gallery salon, and that is our foundation meetup place for all kinds of organizations, anybody who's working to make a peaceful world. If they're singing, if they're donating, if they are vegetarians, if they are releasing a new book, whatever it is, this space is available. And then we do lots and lots of things for free, but it helps us a whole lot if the people will give us enough money to keep the lights on and keep the staff here too. So the things are changing, and we have a calendar on our website, which is peacefulworldfoundation.org. And there's a calendar on there of the events that are going on. And everybody's invited. If they are working for a peaceful world, they're invited to come and use this as their meeting place.
So much of what you're doing here is about giving and about connecting. So if you had one message, one thing that you could say to everybody out there, what would that one, what could you give to them right now?
I don't know what you're, what you are asking me, but I know that my ministry is to encourage everybody that I can to support themselves, not just to pay the mortgage, but to support themselves by doing something that they believe in, that they love, that is good for them, and is good for the world.
I think you answered that very well.
Really?
Thank you for your time. We're piratepods.com, and we were wondering if you could give us a pirate impression. Can you be a pirate for a second?
I don't know what you mean.
Like, I'm a tea, or...
I'm a tea?
Like,
I don't speak your language yet. Yeah. Female pirates, piratesses?
Yes.
Pirate dance?
You Why never came across a pirate in your travels?
No. Why did you name it that? What does it mean?
Well, because we're not professionals. And
if you think back to the 60s, things like pirate radios, where people were taking hold of the airwaves on their own and saying, well, we don't believe in what these radio stations are doing, but we believe that everybody should be able to put something out
Thank
there in
you.
The airwaves. So that's where the idea of pirating
Thank
came
you.
From.
It's not in a negative way.
Well, what do pirates sound like?
Like, arrrr. Or like us, like you. You're a pirate, for
you
sure.
You are a pirate, absolutely. In the
you
best
are,
positive
yes.
sense.
Okay, I'll consider that a compliment.
It is, absolutely.
Thank you so much for coming.